Now, we're going to jump into the Bible, not literally, but kind of. But we just had two "He healed my pain" testimonies. When a testimony comes forward like that, what happens is that same anointing is usually released. And so when we come down to prayer time, well, I don't really have a sickness, but I have pain. That's one of the things we're going to read about that he heals, is pain. And so don't be surprised if by the time we get there, your pain's gone. Because he's here, he's moving. He's doing what he's doing. And the testimony of Jesus, this is the foundation of the spirit of prophecy that brings forth the word of the Lord. So I'm going to give one now. We'll talk about it when we get to the end. But I didn't do this on the first day when we did this. We just had too many things happening. We had a number of words of knowledge, so I just didn't use it. But I stumbled on it again this morning. I thought, yeah, you know, I could remember on that morning I heard like the rumble of thunder, but like the rumble of thunder that is maybe 4 or 5 miles away, where he's just kind of, you know, like that. But you kind of know it's thunder, but that's, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't have some people who are hearing like that. That, yeah, I kind of hear it, but it's like it's a long ways away. If that's the case, that's you, and I'm suspicious if he's not out to heal your hearing today. We'll come back to that at the end. So, okay. We'll go as fast as we can, sort of. That's up to you. This is from Matthew chapter 8, first 3 verses in the Weiss translation. The Lord's heart for healing is amazing. And having come down from the mountain, great crowds followed with him. And behold, a leper, having come, fell upon his knees and touched the ground with his forehead in an expression of profound reverence before him, saying, "Master, in the event that you may be having a heartfelt desire, you are able to cleanse me." And having stretched out his hand, he touched him, saying, "I am desiring it with all my heart." Man, I love that. That's why you read different translations to see how things are said. But that rings in me. So be cleansed at once, and immediately his leprosy was cured, being cleansed away. Healing is not a back burner issue with the Lord. He says, "I'm desiring it with all my heart." Don't tell me you haven't thought that, well, he might heal other people, but he's not going to heal me because I did this, or I didn't do this, or I failed at this, or they're more spiritual than I am, or they know the Bible better than I am, and they should get healed. But don't tell me that we don't have people here that have said that to each other, because lying's a sin, so don't do that. But I know that's true. And here's the reality. It says so in Matthew chapter 8. I am desiring it with all my heart. That's his attitude towards healing. And I love it. I think that's amazing. If you've been around any time, you've heard me quote Luke 5:17 a million times, or at least 250,000. Anyway, Luke 5:17, 15 through 17 is what we use today. But it says, "But the news about him was spreading even farther. Large crowds were gathering to hear him, to be healed of their sicknesses." They came to be healed. "But Jesus himself would often slip away into the wilderness and pray. And one day he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing." And that's been my mantra. That thing jumped off the page at me a number of years ago. And it's like a branding iron. It says, When I think of healing, I think of this verse. And I almost never pray or pray for someone without either silently or out loud saying, "Lord, if you were present in Luke 5:17 and power was there to heal, you're present here, power is here to heal just like it was then." And I genuinely believe that. So I looked all that up. It says the word for healing means healing of the sick, curing. It was used in the Bible specifically referring of the sick or something broken, like a heart. We'll come back to that. It means to heal, remedy, repair, or treat. So healing is part of the finished work of Jesus. And you know Isaiah 53. I'll read it, but you know it. "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Now that's what it says. 1 Peter chapter 2, very similar. For you've been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to the Lord who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Now, New Testament, Old Testament, quoting Isaiah 53, Luke 21, it says, in verse 21 and 22, at that very time he cured many people of diseases and afflictions and evil spirits, and he gave sight to many who were blind. That's a pretty good day at the office. And he answered and said to them, go and report to John. This is John the Baptist disciples have come and said, hey, John's in jail. We're not so sure that you're the right guy. Things aren't going good for us. So you go and report to John what you've seen and heard. This is the gospel. This is what Jesus says about the gospel. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. That needs to be the church alive. That's what Jesus said. This is what we do. This is our modus operandi. You know, if you want to know what a day in life is like, this is what it's like. Isn't that wonderful? And I think, okay, too bad he's not the same today as he always was. No, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? So, healing and health are related blessings to forgiveness. And we just had things read from 103rd Psalm, but he heals all of our diseases, cancels all our sins. And you know, we get to the point, I think, we grow into the thing that's saying, he really did forgive everything. He really did. You know, and everybody believes that until they mess up, and then they don't believe that is good. But he really did. But he also paid for all the sicknesses. Well, then why doesn't everybody get healed? I only have like another 20 minutes, so, okay? You have to recognize, if he did what he did when he did it, then they both got done by doing it. Isaiah 53, right? That's what he says. And so the answer is, if anybody can get healed, everybody can get healed. Now, does everybody get healed every time? I'd have to be totally honest with you and say, every time I pray for someone, not everybody gets healed. But some do. We've heard a couple testimonies. And I could give you a number more. But the issue is, the church in the Western world hasn't embraced this very well. And you know, the enemy is kind of like the enemy. Does that make sense to you? Because somehow, a lot of times, people with capacities, healing gifts, and that kind of stuff turn out to be kind of wonky, you know? I mean, left field, you know, type of stuff. But see, there's a difference between the ministry of healing and the healing ministry. People make the healing ministry what they make the healing ministry. The Lord makes the ministry of healing. So, I've had people say, well, what do you think about that guy? Isn't he a little crazy? And I'd say, yeah, I think so, but I'd trade his outcome for mine. Huh? So, but I don't think you have to be weird. You know, there's nothing under it that says, by the way, yet. But I'm telling you, in a world where not a lot of this happens, it stands out. Right? So, do we want bad theology? No, we don't. But we don't want bad results either. So we have to believe that God is the God of authority and power, and he's able to relinquish to us that same authority and power, so we can operate, because he's the healer, we aren't. Right? And because that's true, well, anyway, we will go on. I put in your outline, I'm just going to run through these. But if you look at these things, a whole bunch of things of healing in the Old Testament, and I can, but I printed the verses, you can look at them, time after time after time, people get healed in the Old Testament. There he also claims to be the healer of the brokenhearted. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. He's the God that heals broken hearts. That's a pretty significant issue if you've ever had one. And it's a really significant issue if you've never gotten over having one. We'll come back to that and look at that again. So the idea is that he heals people, and he heals people in a lot of different ways. We quote Acts 10:38 a lot. And again, I'm not trying to read every verse, so stay with me. But the words of Jesus are empowered. And he says he goes about doing good and healing all of those who are oppressed of the enemy. Does that mean every sickness is of the enemy? In the sense, because it kind of came with sin. But no, if somebody is sick, it doesn't mean they're demonized. It also doesn't mean that if you've been praying for them, they aren't getting well. Maybe the enemy has activity there. We need to break the authority and the power over the enemy before the healing can happen. That happens that way too. And we have to be able to recognize that that's the way he does it. But Jesus' healing ministry, and I'm going to slip to that at the bottom here of the page, he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom and performed healing. This is from Matthew chapter 4. He says, Jesus was going through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every kind of disease. What kind? Every kind. Well, some of those diseases weren't even invented back then. Every still every. Every kind of disease. And every kind of sickness among the people. And the news about him spread throughout all of Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill and those who were suffering with various diseases and pains. And pains. If you don't have the right version of the Bible, it won't say that. But the New American Standard, which is my favorite, breaks down. It's not a thought for thought like NIV or somebody. It's a word for word translation. And it actually says in the Greek, he heals pain. Isn't that cool? Because, well, I don't know what I got, but down here it hurts real bad. Well, who cares what it is? You know? Do you need a label? Yeah, it's red and it's between two pieces of bread. Maybe it's a sandwich. I mean, you know, call it what it is. This is pain. He heals pain. I don't have to know what the source of the pain is because he's able to deal with the root cause and the symptom. I just think that's a wonderful thing that he heals pain. It's not a diagnostic issue. It's great to know what's causing it because then you can pray with, you know, specificity about it. But pain still knows it's pain. And it also knows when authority comes to drive it out. That's right. So I love that passage. They brought him all who were ill, suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them all. And that's I really believe that the Lord did that because sometimes, you know, people would, that, well, she's just, you know, got a sickness. No. This might be demonic. If not, it's paralytic. It could be. He separates them out, so you can see what's happening and know what better to do. Every kind of disease, every kind of sickness, and pain. I like the story in Matthew 12 about the man with the withered hand. It says, "For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Departing from there, he went into the synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered, and they questioned Jesus, asking, well, can you heal the guy or not? It's not what they say. They say, is it lawful for you to heal on the Sabbath? Because they wanted to accuse him of doing something wrong. Like, okay, the guy got healed. Well, what's wrong with that? But they were trying to catch him on the Sabbath. And he said to them, what man is there among you who has a sheep if it falls into the pit on the Sabbath that he won't take a hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and he was restored to normal, just like the other hand. So what happened? Well, he marched around the building 7 times and, you know, no. The guy's sitting there like this. He said, open your hand. Okay. So what happened? Power, authority was released to whatever the cause of this. He didn't address the cause. He said, here's what you need to do to get over it. And that's how, what healing is. Jesus never says, pray for the sick. He says, go heal the sick. And so we're talking, you either speak to the illness or you speak to the part of the body that's ill and command it to come under the authority of the healer, and that's what's supposed to happen. I love this. You know, you wouldn't have reporters around. How long have you had this? What did it feel like? Can you do it again? Doesn't just say, he said, oh, now the one works like that one now. Okay, good. Goodbye. These guys are definitely not Americans. Because we would have, anyway. But he did wonderful things. In Matthew 12, 15, he heals them all. Matthew 12, 22, there's a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and that man spoke and could see. Process not quite as important. In Matthew 12, 22, this guy is blind and mute. In Matthew 15:30, he heals a lame, crippled, blind, and mute, in addition to many others. Just on and on and on. Different things, different ways, different cities, different places, different people, but the same things happen. Matthew 15:30, it says, large crowds came to him, bringing with them. I mean, like, they invited somebody and brought them with them, who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others, and he laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. How did he do it? What did he quote? What passage did he use? Did he lay his hands on them? Did he spit on them again? What happened? Well, they got healed, so they didn't care. Right? And it doesn't give us all of the instrumentation. It's just a victory song. Huh? Isn't that good? Jesus didn't do things the same way every time.
That's right.
Are you with me?
Yes.
I've had people say, well, how do you do that? Well, today, we do it this way. Healed blind people 5 different ways. He spit on a person's eyes. Don't do that. You may get the Lord's permission. You're probably not getting mine. No, really, if you spit and it works, I'll help make up the story. Don't worry about it. But Jesus didn't go around spitting on people all the time, but he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's where the saying, there's spit in your eye, that's where that came from. He ministered deliverance to a demon-possessed man, and he got healed. He could see again. He moved with compassion and touched the eyes of 2 blind men, and they both regained their sight. But it was out of compassion. He made mud, spit and clay, and put it on eyes, and they got healed. And then he healed a blind man with the word. He just said, receive your sight. And I think the guy was saying, oh, that's better than the spit. But if I could pick, right? But, you know, the guy that got spit on probably didn't like it until he opened his eyes.
That's right.
And then it was like, all right, let's try that again. Jesus did all those things, so they're all perfect for the scenario, for the situation. So you can't get mechanical about this. Well, I always do it this way. I have some things that I have a little anointing for headaches, and I got this little anointing for headaches way, 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 way back, and when I was at a funeral, and there was an older gentleman sitting in the back area away from, you know, where the meeting was going to be. And he looked green. I thought he was going to, I mean, he looked really sick. And I went up to him and said, sir, are you okay? Because there wasn't anybody around him. I thought, how do you get in here? You know? And he said, and I was there because a friend asked me to go with him. I didn't know the people. But this guy was a grandfather, I found out, who had lost his grandson. And it was the grandson's funeral. And I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And he said, I can't go out there. And I said, what do you want? Is there somebody I could get to sit with you? And he said, no, I have a headache so bad I can't stand up. And I thought, you know. And instantly, I hear from heaven. And the Lord said, I'm going to use you, Caesar. I'm sorry. I'm not going to abuse you. I'm just going to use you. The Lord said, pray for him. I said, okay. And as I walked over, I put my hand on his head like this, and I heard the Lord say, you command that headache to snap right now and be broken in half, and before the half hour is gone, all the pain will be gone. And I did, and it did. And I was so holy, I was actually looking for the bathroom. I went back and used the bathroom. Came back out, and the guy's sitting there, and he's not green anymore. Amen. His color was returning, and I actually helped him up, and he went back in, sat with his family, and at the end, he came over to me and said, it's completely gone. And I thought, why would you tell me to have only half of it gone? Because it happened like that, and half of it was startling to him. And then it just completed itself by process. And I looked at that and I thought, that's the coolest thing I never would have thought of in my life. And you know what? I've prayed that way for thousands of people. I may have prayed for you and you didn't get healed, but I don't know anybody that hasn't. Now, why wouldn't he say, just get rid of it? I don't know, but you know what? I'm doing that the same way every time until he gives me a better way. It's not important that you do it how Randy Clark does it, or Bill Johnson does it, you know, or some, or me, or anybody. It's important that you do what the Lord prompts you to do. And then you're in obedience, and obedience got a reward to it, you know? And so that's just a wonderful little thing. I wish that was an eye-opening anointing or an ear-opening anointing. It doesn't seem to be, but does pretty good on migraines and stuff. So what do you think? I'm the receiver, not the giver. And maybe I was stupid and couldn't hear right, and he was going to tell me something better, but I took what I got, you know what I mean? And so I want you to show, Jesus did things radically different at different times for different purposes, and it doesn't explain why. It's just, you have to just be open to what he might want to do. But that doesn't mean, well, I haven't done anything really weird today, I should do that. No. Being extraneous doesn't mean that's the Spirit. Some people think the weirder it is, the more holy it is. Au contraire. That's not necessarily the issue. I put 17 places, listed scriptures, where Jesus healed everybody. And then I put the other addresses for 47 other places where one or more people got healed. But you don't find any place where he won't pray for somebody, where he won't minister healing to someone. So I want you to know, he desires people to be healed with all his heart. And so I didn't intend to mention every one of those things. Just thought I'd put them all together and then I'd play hopscotch when we got up here. But I want to touch that. I want to connect this concept of God's desire to see healing happen with a little thing he showed me many years ago, like about 25 years ago. And it just stung me. You know, I just buzzed with it. And I've buzzed you with it before. I'm going to buzz you with it again. Matthew chapter 9. Jesus was going all through all their cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Don't you get tired of hearing that? Uh-uh. But it's in there oftentimes. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest. So he went around teaching, preaching the gospel, and healing everybody. That's kind of what they did. Again, modus operandi. That's kind of what they did. And part of the reason they did that, because people were distressed, harassed, dispirited, down, broken, lost, no eternal purpose, no destiny. And then he gives an assignment. I love the way he did this. He's telling the disciples, boy, harvest is ripe, man,
But we need more harvesters. So you guys need to pray. And they didn't know it, but they were praying for themselves. Because Jesus, up to this point, was the harvester. Right? He said, we need more harvesters. We need more guys out there. He says, guys, you need to pray about this. I don't think they knew it, but they were praying for themselves and for us. So when you pray that prayer that Jesus said, I can't tell you how many prayer meetings I've been over the years. Oh, Lord, send laborers into the harvest. And praying for us. The disciples were praying for themselves. And I really don't think they knew it. But that's exactly what was supposed to happen. Because, see, he was going to come and go and pour out the Holy Spirit. And then the same Spirit that did the healing power in Jesus was going to get put into people. And then they were going to be able to go do the same things. Right? And so, if we get that, something really good happens. John 14, Philip says to the Lord, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll be enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long? I won't go there. Have you been with me so long, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? Do you not believe that about you? You're in Jesus, and Jesus is in you. It's that same type of relationship. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I don't speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or not. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. So if you can't get what I'm saying, are you watching what I'm doing? It's all that Jesus began to do and teach, it says in the book of Acts. Do and teach, both. Not one and not the other, but both. Truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he also will do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And I can remember first time I taught this, I said, if we could just get Jesus to go be with the Father, then we'd be able to do what he does. That's what he said. And everybody looked at it, well, didn't he do that? I said, yeah. Are we doing that? And people will tell you sometimes, I had the explanation that was given to me, because I was pretty chomping at that bit on this one, and I was pretty new, hadn't been saved very long. And they said, well, you have to understand, that is happened, that is true, because there's way more believers now, so there's a lot more people, and so they're doing a lot more stuff. So that's not what it says. It says, the things I do, they will do. Doesn't say they'll do a whole bunch of stuff. It says the things I do. So what does he do? Well, he's preaching the gospel. He's casting demons out of people. He's raising up people that are, you know, are brokenhearted, downtrodden, can't make it, and they get healed inside and outside. That's what he did. Yeah. He taught every place, preaching the gospel, casting demons out of people, healing sick. That's what he did. And so he said, this is the stuff I do. What did he tell him to go tell John the Baptist? What's going? Blind eyes are open, deaf ears are open, lame are walking, right? You tell him that's what we're doing. Now, Philip knew what the disciples saw Jesus doing. He says, now, it's your guy's turn. You're going to do those things. I don't think he knew or understood it at that point. But isn't that what that means to you? It's what he did. That's what he did. That's what John Wimber would call doing the stuff. What stuff? The stuff that Jesus did. Or are you saying we can do the same thing he did? No, I'm saying he said that. Right. He said that. Well, is that a goal? I think it's like a little more of a commission than a goal, but I'll go with goal. You know, if that makes you feel better, I'm okay. I have struggled with this verse for a very long time. Struggled in the sense that, Lord, I want to see it fully expressed here. I want to see it fully expressed here now. Because you didn't put anything on there that said, well, now you got to sign a contract and you can't be too weird. No. It's not what it says. There are no disclaimers. Are there? Now, doesn't hurt if you're like, things like obedient and faithful. You know what I mean? But the idea is, he's telling Philip, guys, if you can't get the preaching, watch what happens. And in the church in America, if we had to just watch what happens, we'd have to shut every place down. No, not every place. I'm preaching, you understand? I mean, I can say things that you can't hold me to, but it's called prophetic license. And I have one. I can't show it to you, but I got one. The idea here is, it's what he said. It's what he said. And it's worth a lifetime of discovering and pursuing to get what he said. And so, I'd like to say, we're at least trying to sniff it out, right? But he tells Philip, if you are stumbling at my words, just watch what happens. That's really what he's saying. And I had somebody ask me, well, do you want somebody following you all the time to see what you do? And I said, God loves me more than that. To have that happen. But testimonies of other people work. Huh? This is significant stuff. That the Lord is after seeing people saved and healed, healed and saved and delivered with all his heart. And that requires wholeheartedness on our part. Because he's coming again, but not to do that. He's got us here. And we pray for visitation all the time. Revival, you call it whatever you want to call it. Lord, we need to live at a different level. You got them. And my elevator has never gone to the top. I don't even know how many floors there are. But I know there's more. Because I read and hear and see what they did, how they did it. And he's given us the same power, same authority. I better hurry. Luke chapter 14. He said to them, a man was given a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, everything's ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. First one said, do you ever invite anybody to church? Okay, well then you know this story then. First one said to him, I got a piece of land, I need to go look at it. You know, I've looked at land before, and if you go at 8 in the morning or 11 in the morning, that pretty much looks the same. Please consider me excused. And another one said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Yeah. In other words, you've never worked with an oxen in your life. That's what your slaves are for. Right? Anyway, another one said, I have married a wife. Well, there you go. And for that reason, I can't come. And the slave came back and reported to his master, and the head of the household became pretty angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Poor, crippled, blind, and lame. That's the ones Jesus was talking about. Hey, we do this, right? And the slave said, Master, what you have commanded also has been done. Still there is room. And the master said, this is so good. Master said to him, go to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. Go get the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And then you go out and compel people to bring them in. You know what I think? I think the blind and the crippled and the lame and the poor got healed and delivered and saved. And that's the compelling evidence to get the people in. I call this healing in the harvest. I think they're genuinely related. And one of the reasons we don't see more harvest than we would like to see is that we aren't providing as much compelling evidence as we could. Now, the gospel's powerful. It's the word of God. Right? Cross. This is the power of God unto salvation. I am not denigrating anything like that. But Jesus didn't just use that. Paul didn't just use that. The disciples didn't just use that. Right? They went out two by two and came back and said, Lord, even the demons are like obeying us. They wouldn't say, boy, people really like the way we preach. That's not what they said. They said, something's happening. Compelling evidence is being gathered because lives are getting changed, some of them instantaneously by the authority and power of God being released on sicknesses and darkness and broken hearts. Are you with me? I really think there's some biblical ground here to say the compelling evidence was once they got the blind and the lame and the poor and the deaf in there and they got well, then everybody wanted to come. Lines at the door. Everybody wanted to come. Now, I've been in meetings like that where you wait all day to get in, like from 10 in the morning to 7 at night. But there was some pretty cool stuff happening. That's been a little while ago. We haven't had that problem here yet, but we're inviting that as an issue. Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 2, it says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest. There's something about the gladness of harvest that produces more harvest. Nothing like the gladness of harvest is your presence as it is with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice and they divide the spoil. You'll break the yoke of their burden, their staff off their shoulders. The rod of the oppressor will be broken for every boot, and the booted warrior in the battle of tumult, a cloak rolled in blood will be burning fuel for the fire, because a child's going to be born to us. Son's going to be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There'll be no end to the increase of his government or peace. No end to the increase of his government, that's his lordship, or his peace. The answer was, a son's going to be born. He's already been born. And we've already been born again. Consequently, we have a family right for the gladness of harvest to be one of the ways we celebrate his name. Be one of the ways we give thanksgiving to him. Darkness will get a light. There'll be great increase. There'll be multiplication. The only way of comparing it is with harvest. I grew up in a farm town. Hadn't been any rain, the farmers came to town and drank coffee and complained about there wasn't any rain. And then when it rained, they came in and bought donuts and coffee because it rained. There was a gladness in when something happened that was going to produce harvest. I want to tell you, I think, this is me now, okay, this is me. So you don't blame the Lord on this, this is me. I think one of the things the Lord wants to see an increase in is an increase in the church's living, powerful, authoritative touch that conquers darkness. Gets demons out of people, gets diseases out of people, and brings health and healing to bodies and families and communities. I really believe that. This is why I get up in the morning. I want to see that happen. I believe we've got a promise. Not just us, but we are not eliminated. So what we want to see is what the Lord wants done about these areas. Let's just do this. I have prayer people come up, please. Prayer team, come up in line in the front, if you would. It doesn't matter, because somebody asked me, you know, I got prayed for, and I don't know that anything happened. So what do you think I ought to do? My answer would be, get prayed for again. Seriously. Because sometimes it's process. It's not always instantaneous. They lay hands on the sick, and the sick recover. That is a process. We want to see that process fulfilled. But we love it when happens like that too. Jesus did it both ways. We want to do it both ways too. Holy Spirit, would you come and rest upon us now? We invite you to quicken spirits in people's hearts, saying, I need a touch from the Lord. It doesn't matter what it's for. I need a touch from the Lord. If your ears aren't working quite right, it's like that thunder way off. You should let somebody lay their hands on you and pray for you. I had put in my notes, and Mike and I talked a little bit about broken heart, and that the Lord's here to touch people who are brokenhearted. Healing of disappointment makes the heart sick. But a desire fulfilled is the tree of life. Some of you just need to get back into the tree of life and get out of that heart sickness. We invite you to come if that's how you feel. So if you'd like to be prayed for you or anybody that you're working with, somebody you're praying with, and they aren't here and they need help, come and get prayed for. Stand in their place. But anybody that would like to be prayed for, just come. I think you're going to find the Lord will meet you as you come. Thank you, Lord. Those of you who are live streaming with us, you pray as we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Number of people that don't have somebody with them, so please feel free. Thank you, Lord. Now, you're welcome to stay and pray if you're not up here being prayed for or praying. But if you need to be released, feel free to go. But thank you for being here. If you just like to stay and pray, please feel free to do that as well. Thank you, Lord.